What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 123. So we're continuing our series on baby formula. Last week, we talked about all the harmful effects of soy baby formula. Me and Tom hate soy. So if you want to learn more about that, check it out. There's a bunch of reasons why you should too. But today, we're actually going to be talking about a little bit of brighter note. So healthy alternatives to baby formula, because there are some, you know, better options out there. So we're going to break that down today.
Yeah, so people have had to, like, supplement, like, human breast milk for, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years, however long you want to consider us to be human for.
Mm-hmm.
Because, unfortunately, mothers die during childbirth all the time. Starvation used to be a real thing of the past, so a mother producing, like, tons of breast milk when she's barely able to feed herself, probably not going to be able to create enough milk for her baby. You know, other times, like if you have twins or you have triplets or something like that, I don't know if you're going to be able to really produce enough milk for all three of your children. So we've always been looking for alternatives to mother's milk. So obviously, the best thing for a baby is always going to be like mother's breast milk. Straight from the mother, that's going to be the very best thing. You're getting, we talked about colostrum a few weeks ago. That is produced during the first few days. You get tons of antibodies and stuff like that, so it's great for your immune system. We're passing down that, like, immune, like, ancestral knowledge right there. So, yeah. Like, now you just have tons of antibodies. You're immune to a bunch of disease right when you're born. So mother's breast milk, human breast milk, always top choice. Now, if that's not an option, because I just laid out a bunch of reasons why, the second choice would either be a wet nurse or a milk donor. So if you don't know what a wet nurse is, that's basically another woman that's going to be nearby that's also lactating as well. So you can get, instead of mother's milk, you can get milk from another human being. So that's a great alternative if either the mother unfortunately died during childbirth or is just not able to produce enough milk. Another option would be like a milk donor, but that would be something like in today's terms where you're not actually like sucking from the nipple, you're like putting in the milk in a bottle and using it that way. Unfortunately, this option is fairly difficult now because the milk has to be pasteurized. It has a bunch of purity standards. The pasteurization process is horrible. It damages proteins. It damages bacteria, good and bad. That's why they do the pasteurization process, is to damage all that bacteria. But I don't know why this kind of goes under the table. Not all bacteria is bad. A lot of bacteria is actually beneficial for us. So we do want some of that. And some of the immune boosting properties is also going to be damaged in that pasteurization process. I also don't know where you can even find like milk donor like today. I don't even know really where you can really do that. I guess your best bet if you know like a healthy friend. Mm-hmm. Who just had a baby, maybe you could ask them. I mean, I think that's pretty much the only way you could do it today.
Yeah, there's really no, I mean, there obviously the internet's a thing, you know what I mean? If you can go look, I'm sure there's spots, but it's just not very common.
Yeah, it's not common, and it's really not advertised very well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those would be your top two choices, but let's kind of get into the third choice, and that's going to be an animal milk-based formula. So we've been doing this for, I don't know, at least 10,000 years, probably longer. As soon as we domesticated animals, I'm sure this is when we started doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So camel's milk, goat milk, and cow milk are like the three most popular choices. Camel's milk looks to be the closest to human milk, but it's not like it's not that much better than like cow or goat. Camel's milk can be really expensive and it's also difficult to find. Maybe if you live somewhere where there's camels all around, like if you live in the Middle East, it might be a little bit more accessible. But here, there's more and more companies producing it because it is a really good alternative. But right now, it's not quite like as easily accessible. You mostly have to buy it online. You're probably not going to be able to find it in any source.
I wonder what camel's milk tastes like. Did you read anything that says what it tastes like?
I would imagine it's got to taste really similar to cow milk. I mean, because I've had goat milk and I've had cow milk, and they tasted basically the same to me.
Okay, I was going to say they taste the same to me too, but I know a lot of people who have tried goat milk who say it's like disgusting. And I was like, to me, I genuinely couldn't taste the difference.
Yeah, I couldn't taste the difference. If it didn't say goat on the bottle, like, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, okay, same here. So I'm sure, yeah, camel's probably the same, yeah.
I mean, they're all ruminant animals. Uh-huh. Camels, like cows, are incredibly fat. So I'm thinking, like, it's probably about the same.
Okay.
Yeah, goat's milk formula is another good option. But, again, it's kind of expensive and difficult to find. If you live somewhere like United Kingdom, where there's a lot more goats and sheep, it's a little bit more accessible over there because, like, that's just kind of the norm. But if you live in America, pretty much cow milk is what we have. And that's kind of like that's the easiest to get. It's the cheapest. So it's kind of like the kind of the go-to if you're an American. But if you are going to go with cow's milk, look for A2 protein milk. It'll say A2 on the front because there was a mutation, I don't know, I think like 5,000 years ago or so in cows, where cows split from making A2 casein protein to A1. And if you do have some sort of aversion to milk, some sort of sensitivity to cow's milk, generally it's that A1 casein and not the A2. The camel's milk and the goat milk, both of those contain the A2 casein protein, and you're a lot less likely to have an adverse reaction to those. So same thing with cow's milk. Go for that A2. It's a little bit better. It's really popular now because of how much more like knowledge there is on this topic. So it's not that difficult to find A2 protein.
Yeah, that's a good point because we'll touch on it later in the podcast, like a meat-based formula, because cow's milk is the way to go because we're going to be trying to get as close to our, I guess I say ruminant animals is the best way to go because we want to get the milk as close to human milk as possible, and that's what that is. But still, some babies have a hard time with it, and so getting a better digestible protein, that A2 protein, is hopefully a way around that digestibility problem. 99.99% of babies are not lactose intolerant, so their effect from the milk, if they do have a negative effect, isn't from the lactose most of the time. It's usually some other nutrient that's in the milk, and a lot of the times it is one of these proteins. So that's something just to keep in mind. And like Tom said, like breast is best. If you can always go with breast milk, if you produce enough, you got a friend, a sister, aunt, cousin, whoever who's also lactating, hit her up, try and get some milk. That's always the best you can do. But if you can't, you know, you're not producing enough milk, you can't produce enough milk for whatever reason, like listen up, because you're not going to find this formula, specific one that we're going to talk about today, in the supermarket. It's not a thing. You're not going to be able to go down to, I don't care if you go to Sprouts, Whole Foods, any Costco, nothing. You're not going to find this formula. And it's just, I mean, that's sad. And it's unfortunate, you know, that the healthiest thing we feed our babies, we can't actually get good formulas from these supermarkets. And really, like, why that is, and it's just sad, and it's just, like, kind of just the government getting in our lives, is something called WIC, so Women's Infant Children Program. It's a government program here in America, and really, it's just like any other big bidding thing. So the lowest bid wins. So the government has these contracts and is like, you know, who can come in and make this product at the lowest price? And they win the contract. And these contracts are millions of dollars. So these manufacturer companies who produce baby formula are incentivized to use cheaper and cheaper products. And one, it helps their profits as well. But two, it ensures that they get these contracts. Because when someone like uses like food stamps, that would be like what WIC kind of produces and gives out to these single moms so they can feed their children, they only can use them for like certain products at these stores. They can't use it just for everything. And these baby formulas are on that list that can be used and bought with food stamps. And it's just, I don't know, we deserve better options. Like, the poorest communities in our nation are the ones being affected the most by these shitty infant formulas. And I know telling, you know, a single mother to actually kind of make her own whatever solution is not maybe the most sympathetic thing to say, because she probably has a million other problems in her life, but it's not that expensive, this formula. It's really not. And it really is a million times more healthy. Like, it's not even close. So the people who I got this formula from, two people specifically. So a lady named Mary Enig, she created this formula. She's I call her the OG fat lady, even though she's actually not fat, but she's a prolific researcher on nutrition. And specifically, she wrote a book called Know Your Fats. So that's why I call her the fat lady. I actually have her book here at the house. I've read it. I bought it in physical form, which is rare for me. Normally I buy everything digital, but her book is big. It has a lot of pictures in it. That's kind of, I think, why I bought it physical. But her book is awesome. She knows her stuff about fats, like backwards and forwards. She's one of the main reasons why trans fats got actually taken out of our diet supply, you know, within the last, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years. I forget what date that happened, but she was the one kind of hitting that drum, like, hey, these are not natural. These are not healthy. She helped him get it out of our diet, so we can thank her for that. She's dead now, but she was real big in that whole kind of trans fat movement. She was behind that. So we all have a lot to do. Everyone should thank her, honestly, in my opinion. And then the other lady is Sally Fallon. She's the author of the book Nourishing Traditions. So that's a book I bought for this podcast and read through it. It outlines the formula. And the book overall, it's a, I don't know, I'd call it honestly more of a cookbook. Like, I can't really recommend it, to be honest. Like, it's actually very long, but the bulk of it is recipes. And I can agree with the recipes because they're all kind of ancestral-based, whole foods, meats, a lot of like fermentation, a lot of whole milk, a lot of raw milk, that type of stuff. So I can agree with the foods, but the first maybe 60-70 pages of this book, they go into nutrition, just basically covering the macronutrients, fats, proteins, and carbs. And the author was not very nice to animal farming. Like, she hates factory farming, and her opinion was that, like, beef is good, but it has to be organic and 100% pasture raised. If it's not, it's poison. And I was just like, I can't, you know, I just can't get down with that, because that's not true. You know, like, I know that. And this lady's smart. I mean, she knows her stuff about some things. Like, a baby formula, go to her. They know what they're talking about. But, like, an advice on steak and pork and chicken, that stuff, they obviously don't know what they're talking about. But that's kind of, you know, a different topic for a different day. But if you want to look into that book, I'll link the book on the site as well so you can check it out. But again, just read it with a grain of salt. Some things she knows what she's talking about, some things she doesn't. And that we see that all the time, though. You know what I mean? Like, we've talked about it before. If you go to, like, a neurosurgeon, everything is going to be about the brain. If you go to, like, a heart surgeon and say, like, your ankle's swollen, he's going to say, oh, you're in heart failure. You know, your heart can't get the fluid up, all this type of stuff. When he didn't even know that yesterday you sprained your ankle playing soccer. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're so in their field, they can't see the forest despite the trees, you know?
Yeah, we've talked about it a million times. It's like, yes, pasture-raised cows, they're better. Like, not going to argue with that. But are they significantly better than, like, conventional? Not really. It's just a slight difference. I mean, if you want to make that argument when it comes to chickens or fish, yes, I can get on that argument. But when it comes to beef, there's not a significant difference.
There's not, no. It was her biggest thing was on pork. Like, she hated pork. And she went on this whole, like, spiel about, she sounded very much like a vegan. She was like, they did this study, didn't reference the study at all because I tried to find it. Where, you know, after this person ate pork or these people ate pork, their whole blood changed, their whole biomarkers changed and blah, blah, blah. And, like, pretty much saying, like, they were unhealthy. And I was like, I don't, like, she was just speaking gibberish. But at the very end of her whole, like rant on pork, she was like, but it has to be noted that the people in Japan, and they're, because Japan is a nation that loves pork. They eat more pork than anyone. And then she was like, they have the longest living people in the world. And I was just like, did you not just... like, what? Like, are you not connecting those dots, lady? You know what I mean? But whatever. It is what it is, I guess. It was pretty funny.
All right. So do you want to get back to the topic?
Yeah. So the one that they created, so this formula is based on raw, full-fat milk. And this is so it's as close to breast milk as possible. So raw is really the key point there, because that's going to be something you're going to have to go out and find. It's not going to be in every grocery store, but it is becoming more and more popular. So just go out and find it. You can find it somewhere. This is going to be like a long list of things added to this raw milk. And if you want, you can find all of this in one place. So it's called Radiant Life Baby Formula. And I'll link it on the website as well so you can find it. It's just a kit you can buy online and has all these supplements already there. So all you have to do is add it into your milk and you're done. It's a little more expensive than buying everything individual, but it can be a hassle buying things individual, I understand. So again, that's Radiant Life Baby Formula. I'll link it on the site. But here is actually the list of all the things you're going to add to this raw, full-fat milk formula. So you start with 2 cups of whole fat raw milk from pasture fed cows. And so this is going to be the backbone of the formula. You have 1/4 cup of homemade liquid whey. This is going to provide high quality protein. So to make liquid whey, you get raw milk. You let it sit out for a couple days until it separates into liquids and solids. And then you drain that liquid that's away and you use that. You're going to add 4 tablespoons of lactose. And this is just the sugar in milk. And mother's milk has more lactose than animal milk. So this is needed for neurological development in the baby. So lactose gets converted into galactose in our body once it's broken down. And that gets incorporated into the myelin sheath as our brains and our nervous system grows. So it's extremely important for babies because obviously their brains are growing. Their bodies are growing at a very fast pace. So they need that. We talked about that in last week's podcast. If you want to learn a little bit more about that, you can check that out. You're going to add 1/4 teaspoon of Bifidobacterium infantis, and that is a probiotic, which is the most predominant bacteria found in infants. So that provides all those good bacteria we were talking about earlier. You're going to do 2 tablespoons of good quality cream. This is just basically milk fat. This can be pasteurized, but not ultra pasteurized. And this just provides high quality fats and cholesterols. And remember, by calorie, mother's milk is mainly fat and cholesterol. That's the most calorie-dense part of the nutrition. So we need these high-quality fats. You're going to put 1 teaspoon of regular cod liver oil. This provides high-quality vitamin A, D, and omega-3 fats, DHA, and EPA. You're going to add 1/4 teaspoon of high vitamin butter oil. Again, for more fats. The more fats, the better. You're going to do 1 teaspoon of unrefined sunflower oil. And this is because mother's milk is high in omega-6 and omega-9 fats. So a little bit higher than actual cow's milk. So we need to up those ratios a little bit. So in normal mother's milk, it's about 3-1, 6-3 omega ratio. So that's 3 sixes to every 1 omega-3 fats in mother's milk. So we need to get that ratio right. You're going to add 1 teaspoon of extra virgin olive oil. You're going to add 2 teaspoons of coconut oil. This is needed specifically for the fatty acid lauric acid, which is high in breast milk, but pretty much everywhere else in nature is very low, even in cow's milk. But in coconuts, we find the fatty acid lauric acid. It's antifungal, antibacterial. It's a very, very unique fatty acid. We actually have a podcast, a post on our website about lauric acid specifically, so you can check that out if you want. It's pretty cool, the stuff lauric acid can do. The next ingredient is 2 teaspoons of Frontier brand nutritional yeast flakes. So this contains pretty much like a multivitamin. It's very high in B vitamins. So all the spectrum, all the B vitamins your body needs is there, and protein. You're going to add 2 teaspoons of gelatin. Gelatin makes the milk more digestible. You'll help the baby digest it as easy as it can. You're going to add 1 7/8 cups of filtered water. And this is because mother's milk has less protein than animal milk. So this waters it down and gets the ratios correct. You're going to add 1 teaspoon of Acerola powder. Did I pronounce that right? Do you know how to pronounce that?
That sounded good to me.
Close enough. Sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. But it's actually very high in vitamin C. So it provides some, again, a vitamin to it. And that's everything. If there could be more, I'm sure they would. But you have to understand, we're trying to recreate the most nutrient-dense food ever created, you know? So this is the best they could come up with. And it, honestly, in some cases, this formula did better than breast milk. And you got to think, that's because breast milk quality is based on the health of the mother. So if the mother is sick or undernourished, like, guess what? So is her milk going to be. So in this case, you know, if you understand, you know, you're just not in a healthy spot, maybe this formula is better to do than breast milk itself. Like, can you give your babies raw milk? That's something that's come up a lot. People are scared of raw milk, especially in America, because it's just not very common. You know, you're going to find pasteurized things everywhere. You're not going to find raw stuff everywhere. But you can 100% give your baby raw milk. It's best to do it when the baby is robust and at least 4 months old. And like Tom said, we've been doing this for thousands of years. Like, if you couldn't find a wet nurse or somebody in your little town or community that was also lactating around the same time, you had to get an animal's milk. There's no other options or your baby is going to die. That's it. So you can do that if the baby's around 4 months or older. And like I said, robust. And just as far as the reviews go with this milk, there's no double blind clinical studies on there. There's not. You're not going to go search PubMed and find a review on mother's milk versus this formula, or this formula versus a soy-based formula. And that's mainly because, I mean, to me and Tom talked about it, you just can't do studies like this these days, you know?
Yeah, there's ethical, like, reasons you can't really just do this. And there's so many factors, kind of like you just mentioned, like, the health of the mother is going to impact, like, the quality of the milk. So if you're comparing, like, low-quality breast milk to, like, a soy formula, you're not really comparing, or, like, you know, like, two mothers aren't reproducing the same quality of milk. Mm-hmm. So there's just too many variables to really good, like, really good quality studies.
Yeah, exactly. So, but this has been used for over 20 years as far as using raw milk, and no babies yet have been sick because of this milk. At least nothing, you know, reported to these authors that they, I got that from the book. And so I guess that's good. You know, 20 plus years of using raw milk and nobody yet has been really sick. And there are some tweaks you can do to this formula if your baby is sensitive. If you make this formula and it still doesn't work, you know, they're still being a little fussy. You can take out the gelatin and the yeast. And then if you still have problems, you go to a meat-based formula.
And so before we go on to that, mm-hmm. I just kind of want to do a little tangent on the pasteurization process. Mm-hmm. So this is just kind of like a little fun fact. I forgot the inventor's name who came up with the pasteurization process of milk, but what he did in like the 1800s is he went around from town to town. There's no internet at this time, so you're a stranger wherever you go, and he was selling his pasteurization process to each town, and he would sell it, like, his main selling point was, hey, the village, or like the town that I came from, a bunch of people died from the milk, so I had to come up with this pasteurization process so people would have a safe milk to drink from. Basically, just the guy was a complete, like, snake oil salesman. Like, the doctor in town almost always was like, this guy's full of shit, like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But science doesn't matter when, like, fear is involved and when, like, emotions are involved. Mm-hmm. So basically, he just like went around, like, the country, scared up a bunch of people into thinking that milk is going to kill them unless they pasteurize their milk, and then it just kind of spread from there.
Yeah, that's it. And if people really knew, man, the genesis of a lot of things in history, man, they wouldn't believe it. You know, they really wouldn't.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, we've been drinking this milk this way for hundreds of thousands of years. But yeah, this guy who just invented something yesterday makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just some quack. I'm pretty sure his last name was Pasteur. That's why it's called pasteurization. But I forget. Yeah, I forget his full name too. But yeah, so, and like we mentioned in the intro, that even with this formula, which is pretty much as close as we can get to breast milk, breast, like I said, that's the most nutrient dense food on the planet. So it's not going to be 100% accurate. But so about 2-5% just simply don't do well with dairy, talking about babies, 2-5%. And in that case, we want to do a puree meat-based formula. Actually, but I think the best part of this book that I read, or at least the most, like, powerful, was a testimonial from this family who basically thanked the author, saying that they saved their baby's life because their baby could not take down, the mother couldn't produce milk, their baby wouldn't drink any formulas at all. It doesn't matter what it was. They tried the milk-based formula. The baby wouldn't do it. And they said their baby was going to die, literally from malnutrition in, you know, the 20th century, which is crazy and should never happen. But obviously it does. You know, it's sad. But they did this meat-based formula. The baby took it, no problem, and thrived. And they said their second child, they just went straight to this meat-based formula. They didn't even, like, mess around at all. And both their babies grew up to be healthy and strong. And I was like, man, that's pretty powerful, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's an incredible testimonial.
Yeah, it was like, I was like, man, that's really cool. So this is the meat-based formula. It's very similar to the other milk-based formula, but obviously the backbone instead of milk is going to be meat. So here it is. So you have, I know these lists are really long. I'm going to put these lists on the site so you can go there and literally copy and paste it and or print it out, whatever, if you don't have to, like, write it down now. So here is the meat-based formula. So it's 3¾ cups of homemade beef or chicken broth, 2 ounces of organic liver cut into small pieces, 5 tablespoons of lactose, 1 teaspoon of Bifidobacterium impetus, which, again, that's the most predominant bacteria found in infants, so we need to replace it, 1/4 cup of homemade liquid whey, 1 tablespoon of coconut oil, 1 teaspoon of regular cod liver oil, 1 teaspoon of unrefined sunflower oil, 2 teaspoons of extra virgin olive oil, and 1/4 teaspoon of Acro powder. And remember, that's the source of vitamin C from earlier. So very similar thing, but just the liver is going to be the backbone of that. Liver, we've talked about it a million times, is probably pretty much the most nutrient-dense food on the planet. It sucks that it's gross. Like, I personally don't prefer the taste of it, but it's super healthy for you. So if your baby doesn't do well with that, again, the milk-based formula, go with the liver-based formula, and that'll be your best options out there. And like I said, you're not going to find these formulas in the supermarket. You're not going to find them pre-made on the internet. You're going to have to do the work and make it yourself. But obviously, I mean, I think it's worth it. You know, you're talking about the development of your child, and I think that's something you should all take serious.
Yeah, and it also seems like something that you can make in bulk. And, like, after you make it a couple of times, it seems like it'd be really easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. In the book, recommend making it daily. That's what they recommend, daily. But I don't know, I think it just, whatever system works for you, you make it work for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't make, like, a week's worth at a time, but I'm pretty sure you can make, like, probably 2 to 3 days worth at a time.
Sure.
Like, it doesn't seem like that would be too much out of a question. But yeah, it's just kind of crazy, just, like, how different the formulas that we just talked about today are from the formula, the soy-based formula that we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
Just where, like, we're talking about either milk-based for, you know, replacing a milk food, or we're talking about liver and like broth based compared to soy and high fructose corn syrup based.
Yeah.
Like comparing two completely different things.
Completely different things. And just, I mean, obviously this stuff's going to be more expensive than because it's just the name of the game. High fructose corn syrup is dirt cheap. Soy is dirt cheap. And that's why these companies get you, and they make a ton of money off of it. And obviously these ingredients are going to be way more expensive than that, but it's worth spending your money on if you can. You know, it's just, obviously it is. And yeah, I had a little run-in with this lady on the internet. She's it was on Instagram, I forget her name. But I just, in my world, as far as like the health world, it is very common to bash baby formula. I think it's pretty easy to, wouldn't you agree?
Oh yeah. I mean, if the first two ingredients are two of like the unhealthiest foods around, yeah. I mean, it seems pretty easy.
Yeah. And so the first ingredient is always going to be some sort of corn derivative. So usually, again, in the cheaper version is going to be high fructose corn syrup. The protein is going to come from some plant base, usually soy, complete crap. And then the fats are going to come from some industrial seed oil, either canola or soy oil, some complete crap as well. You're not going to find any sort of lactose. You're not going to find any sort of cream, any sort of milk fat, any sort of cod liver oil. Like, you'll never find it in these formulas. But this lady online was like, you shouldn't shame mothers for feeding their babies what they can. And I was like, okay, like, I get that, you know, but I don't think educating people that this stuff is bad is like shaming. Like, we're just trying to show you that, like, people just assume it's for a baby, that it's healthy, that it's for a baby, that it's some, like, it's like that it passed like some sort of rigorous test. And I'm like, no, this stuff is complete crap. And people should know. Like, I think we should educate. I'm not trying to shame you on what you feed your baby. If you can't afford this, if you can't find the time, just do your thing, you know, do you. Something my dad always said was live and let live. Go ahead. But we should try and educate people. I don't think that's doing too much.
No, not at all. And I think most people aren't even aware of this. And one thing that I don't think we mentioned earlier is that one of the problems with buying the pre-made formulas is that our country demonizes saturated fats. It demonizes animal fats. So one thing that all the like pre-made formulas are going to have is they're going to remove the healthy like saturated fats you're going to get from the milk, and they're going to replace it with that soybean oil or one of these other like highly toxic industrial seed oils. So that's why we recommend making your own versus buying the pre-made ones. Honestly, everybody should always do the best that they can afford, but like we just want to make it so that everybody knows that they're making the most educated choice out there.
Yep, exactly. So education's key. That's all we're trying to do. I'm definitely not trying to shame nobody, but yeah, so those are the two best options. Those are the healthy baby formula alternatives. Hopefully you learn something. Hopefully if you're thinking about starting a family, you can go off this. If you can't produce enough milk, or if you know someone who's struggling with producing enough milk, maybe just let them know that they have other options out there.
Yeah, and if you guys have any questions, concerns, always feel free to reach out to us. We're on pretty much all social media, Facebook, Instagram. You can also reply to the show notes or on any of the podcasts.
Exactly. Yeah. So again, you can find it. You can find everything on TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. Like Tom said, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys took something from this podcast. Share with your friends and family if any of them are using that like horrible soy-based formula and they want, you know, a healthier alternatives. You can hopefully find us anywhere podcasts are found. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.